Ferndale with Skeleton Crew. Joey's actually been helping us by phone. Joe Marasso certainly deserves his credit all the way over in St. Clair Shores. Mark's here from Berkeley, Jay from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. This is the Drew and Mike Podcast.
Part one.
Part one.
Maybe.
Possibly. Yeah. not a ton of breaking news today, but you know, there's
really
usual pile of bullshit to talk about. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations are in.
Awesome.
And there's a great rock and roll story we are going to get more on from our correspondent in Joshua Tree, California.
Oh, wow.
The Paul McCartney bar gig for 300 extremely lucky people.
I don't even know about this. Can you explain like how this came about or what happened?
He wanted to play a bar gig in the middle of the desert. As part of Coachella, day from Coachella on one of the off days.
Is there really a bar there?
Yes, there's a bar there.
All right.
It's called Pappy and Harriet's, and it is a dive. Barely fit 300 people, and what they did was they announced it the day of, and they said tickets are on sale at 6:30, one per person. You can get in line at 3 o'clock.
Oh, man, that is a
and that's
dive.
It. And so they got locals. They didn't get a bunch of scalpers and, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Brokers and stuff like that. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, too.
Pappy and Harriet's Pioneer Palace.
And I got to tell you, those people were so close to the band. It's really amazing when you see the photos.
Yeah, and does everybody have their phone out?
Well, of course they do. But the good news is we got to see some of the tracks. Some of them are terribly overmodulated. But there's a few on YouTube where you can tell. It sounded pretty damn good.
See, wouldn't you think Paul would have recorded it or the band?
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you they did.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe for a later release. Because he released, what's that one he played at the record store and he put out? It was actually up for a Grammy. It had a real strange name.
I have no idea.
But it was weird. It was like, I hate it when they do this because I think it's stupid. There was a Grammy for, I don't even remember what it was for, but I saw her standing there, performed at such and such, was up for it, like best live track or something. I don't know. But a song from 1964 is up for a Grammy in 2013 or something.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool. I mean, it's different.
It seems like the song, if it's going to get a Grammy, should get it in, you know, the year it was released. But
they have all those categories, though.
But, you know, how cool when somebody like that, somebody that big, I mean, is there anyone bigger to play at any place smaller in the history of rock and roll music? Well, Bruce Springsteen, it's funny, I'm reading this book, and I remembered Bruce played a dive bar on a motorcycle trip. He stopped at a place in Arizona, again, in the middle of the desert, and played a biker bar. There was some local band playing, and he just went up and joined the band, I guess, for about 5 songs.
Cool.
Stones do it. Usually to start every tour, they play a bar gig.
Well, you know who's doing it right now, and they've actually been advertising it, which kind of kind of ruins the point of doing a dive bar tour,
I would say,
is Lady Gaga.
Gaga is?
Yeah, she's been doing a bunch of smaller bars and smaller venues.
Well, she's advertising.
It's a big Bud Light promotion.
The problem with advertising something like that is that the tickets become a total clusterfuck,
and
the people don't really have a chance to get them. It's like any other show.
Mm-hmm. You would think if you're an artist, though, wouldn't you want to do that kind of thing? I mean,
once in a while?
You're loaded, so why not?
I don't understand why people...
A small group.
I don't understand why people don't do it more often. I really don't.
It's nice to do, you know, these giant stadiums and the arenas that sit 22,000, but I think that'd be kind of cool just to do a 1,500-seat place.
You know what I thought was nice about it was I could hear everyone's guitar.
Oh.
It's not like this mush of sound.
Yeah.
Like every, I'm sorry, I don't care how much technology you have. It never sounds that good in Ford Field or Comerica Park.
I was just thinking, the band least likely to do something like that would be U2.
Probably.
Could you ever see U2 doing something like that?
And why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I think it'd be so damn cool.
Have you guys seen anybody in small venues like big bands?
You know what? You know what I saw, and the reason I saw him in a bar was because both of their careers were down. That's the only reason I saw him in a bar. But now it sounds really big. In 1986, I saw Greg Allman and Leon Russell.
Really?
Yeah, they were playing together. They were touring together on a tour because both their careers were like. Poof. And
was it any good?
Yeah, it was really good. First of all, Greg had a hit. Greg had just put a solo record out, and I'm No Angel.
Uh-huh.
I think we talked about this, actually. Do you remember I'm No Angel, Jay? Yeah, it was a hit. The song had just hit the airwaves. It was like, wow, Greg Allman's got a hit. He's playing this little bar. Are you kidding me? No, it wasn't a tiny bar. It was like a 700, like the Ritz, but a little smaller.
Still, that's pretty
small. And it was sold out. I mean, I think if he had had a hit or not, it would have been sold out. But it was really good. And it was when Greg Allman was really fucked up and like somebody's helping him to the piano.
Oh, yeah, boy.
But you know what? He sounded good.
Oh, I know this song, yeah. Is this in a movie?
I think it is, yeah. I believe it is.
A really cheesy... Oh, boy. Jay, did you see a band in a small venue?
Yeah, we saw Metallica when they were still coming up.
Oh, really?
Because they were famous for playing totally no-name places, like back before Master Puppets really hit. They played a lot of, like, Decatur, Illinois, and places like that. There's little no-name places.
You saw, wow, that's pretty sweet.
Saw them twice in the little places like that before they got really big.
That's pretty badass.
Wow.
But we also saw Guns N' Roses play out in California. They were supposed to be playing at Frisco at the Cow Palace.
Yeah.
And they got to town like a day early, something like that. We were driving around town, and they just, on the radio, they said, hey, if anybody's over by this intersection, GNR just said they're going to play the bar over there.
Wow.
We just happened to be like about two blocks away, so we spun the car around and got in there before it got packed. Got really lucky.
That's really cool.
Jay only sees bands in small bars. He refuses to go to the large venues. Wow, that's amazing. What a stroke of luck.
Yeah.
There was a time out there, Aerosmith was playing the Cow Palace as well. This one is out in the Army, out in California. And I think just one weekend, they just needed like beer money they don't drink anymore, but they must have just needed party money, drug money or something, because they just played like a one-off show at the Cow Palace. They weren't touring. They weren't supporting an album. They're just like, hey, Aerosmith's playing this one-off show out at Frisco. It's pretty wild.
The Cow Palace, is that like 5,000 or 7,000?
Oh, that's big. Didn't the Sharks play there for a while? I thought they did. I thought somebody played there.
I think everybody. That was Bill Graham's big venue. Yeah, probably.
The San Jose Sharks.
Oh, they played the Cow Palace?
I thought they did for a while.
They probably did.
When
you're
first
probably right.
Started.
And right across the bay, you had the Oakland Coliseum.
Well, it's funny when you look at the history of some professional franchises and some of the places they've played.
You want to know all the teams that have played at the Cow Palace?
There's quite a few.
San Francisco Seals.
I bet you there's some colleges played there, too.
They've had, the San Francisco Warriors.
Yep.
Golden State Warriors, a.k.a. played there. San Jose Earthquake, the National Soccer League. the Sharks did play there from 91 to 93.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind
of... So 15 or
so. They used to have NBA and NHL. And then they had the 1960 NCAA basketball tournament there.
No kidding. Wow. Well, that was when the University of San Francisco was so big, because Bill Russell played there.
Yep. 13,000 for basketball, 11,000 for hockey.
That's all.
Yeah, that's tiny.
Yeah, that is dinky.
But then again, you're talking 91 to 93, so that would have been the first place the Sharks would have played, probably why they were building something else.
Yeah, and building an expansion hockey franchise in warm weather is not easy. That is a building process.
We were just talking about that the other night, Drew, about how California has three hockey teams and you can never catch a hockey game.
I know, isn't it on TV? Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Wait, what? Why, they're not televised?
People don't talk about hockey out there.
Really?
No.
We got three teams, but yeah, you can never catch a game out there. Or at least when I was out there, I don't know what it's like now. But
I think it's built a lot now because they've won championships.
They've won,
and same thing in Phoenix. The Phoenix, when the Winnipeg Jets moved there, it was like, what, hockey? But
you are getting a lot of the young talent for the NHLs coming from there now. Well, look at Austin Matthews. I think he's from Phoenix, right? Or Vegas? One of those two. I want another warm city, whatever.
I want to say Vegas, but I'm not sure.
I think you're right.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions or announcements for nominations out today, and always worthy of discussion. As first off, Tupac, Pearl Jam,
Sweet.
And Janet Jackson.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Who is pregnant? I don't know.
Maybe
you guys were not too sure about Tupac.
Well, I don't know.
There's pictures of Janet walking around. Of course, that could be her just getting fat.
Wasn't that what DeBarge said?
Yeah, he said it could be fake.
I don't know if the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does this every year to spark this conversation, to put people.
It seems like it.
Tupac and Janet up there, and I never really had a problem with NWA or Public Enemy getting in, but Tupac, I don't know, and I think that's because NWA and Public Enemy were like the first, you know, they to me they embody rock and roll more. And Jay pointed out before the show, you know, Public Enemy did the big album with Anthrax. So they crossed genres. I don't know, Tupac?
You know, to me, it just seems like if anybody sells a lot of records, it doesn't matter what genre they're in, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will take them eventually. I don't understand it. I thought it was rock and roll, and it was for rock and roll. It wasn't for people that don't play rock and roll. But clearly, the genre has been expanded so greatly. Now it seems like if you don't put Tupac in there, they're going to be saying, well, it's crap, you're discriminating against Tupac.
So is Garth Brooks in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean,
I would imagine he's a
country star.
I don't know that. See,
Justin Bieber.
Well, seriously, yeah.
Willie Nelson. I mean, will he be in the? Is he in the?
Willie Nelson should be if he's not. I mean, I would think Johnny Cash is, but
yeah, Johnny Cash is definitely in. Willie should be in.
So why don't they just make it the Music Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe that's because there already is a country music Hall of Fame, but there's not a rap Hall of
Fame. True. Well, like Madonna. Madonna's not rock and roll.
Hey, can you think of a rock station that ever played Madonna?
No. No, absolutely not.
Not even in the mid-80s, a rock station?
No.
I couldn't either.
No way. You know, Michael Jackson's barely played by rock stations. The Eddie Van Halen song got some play. The Beat It.
Beat It, yeah.
That's it.
I think he's a little more rock, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about Michael Jackson. Woo.
I don't know, just when you see Tupac and Janet, it's just kind of like, what?
Well, Janet is, she's the second biggest Jackson. What can you say?
Oh, come on, Black Cat was heavy.
Black Cat. Rhythm Nation, too, it's kind of rocking, right?
She sold a lot of records.
Well, she
has some big tours.
I mean, this technically has a guitar in it.
Oh. Please, no Janet Jackson.
I remember this song.
Oh, man. I don't even remember this song. When was this?
87, maybe? 88?
Was it a big hit?
I think so.
Like 89.
Really?
89. See, that rocks, Drew. Drew's rocking out right now, everybody.
No. I don't know why. I used to like that song. What was that song? It's kind of a stupid song, but for some reason, I like the hook. Or the melody or something. What is it? When I Think of
Control.
You, I think. When I
really?
Think of You. Yeah. It's not even a rock song at all. Hmm. I think we had to play it, and I hated most of our playlist. I worked on this station. It was kind of a hybrid rock pop, and it was really stupid. It didn't work.
No, I'm shocked.
Yeah. Well, there's so many stations in that market in Phoenix that people, there were tons of hybrids because you couldn't do anything without bumping into five other people in the same format. So people tried to combine formats. It didn't work.
Was what Mark and I were throwing down to before he came down here to come up.
Yeah, because Public Enemy is in now.
Flavor Flav you're talking about.
Flav's cool. Can't say I ever listen to their music.
Oh, I love
Public But I liked, Enemy. I used to like Parliament, George Clinton in Parliament.
Yeah.
Flashlight. Who else? Depeche Mode,
blech.
Well, they're big. I mean.
I just never got them. Did you like them?
I liked a few of their songs, yeah. Not really, though. I mean, they weren't high on my list. Electric Light Orchestra, I think, is way overdue. Yeah. Jeff Lynne.
I like that you refer to them as Electric Light Orchestra.
It's opposed to ELO.
ELO.
Yeah. They were really unique. You know, the big violins, not violins, but what are those? What's that instrument? They had those two guys playing those giant
cellos.
Yeah, I guess it's cellos. What's that? Orchestra 50138 or something? You know that song?
Was that their first? Wasn't that their first?
It was their first hit, I think, yeah. You know the song I'm talking about?
I think my favorite, one of my favorite ELO songs is not even one of their more popular ones, but it's been in a bunch of movies lately, which is Mr. Blue Sky.
Oh, Mr. Blue Sky, yeah. Well,
but I don't
the Tom Mazzaway song.
Yeah, one of Tom's Blue Sky songs.
Along
it's
with
such
the Allman
a good
Brothers
song.
Blue
yeah.
Skies. Yeah, we need to bring that back for Tom when he gets all giddy. When we talk about the Bozo appearance he wanted to attend.
That's Blue Skies, yeah. Such a cool song.
Yeah, this should have been a hit.
I don't know why it was.
Do you know he re-recorded all of the hits for the Greatest Hits record?
Really?
Yeah, he redid them.
Why? To remaster them?
It had to do with the deal he had with the record company that those tracks were on. If he put out the Greatest Hits, he would have lost his ass.
Really?
Because if he re-recorded them and put them out on his new label, that's the only reason I'm aware of. But you know what? They sound pretty identical.
Huh.
Can't tell the difference. I think my favorite, the first ELO song I remember was Roll Over Beethoven. They had like an 11-minute cover
really?
Of Roll Over Beethoven. Yeah, it's wild. And then Showdown. I love Showdown.
I don't think I know Showdown.
You know Showdown.
I do.
Find Showdown, Jay. You know Showdown?
This happens all the time. You name a song, and I'm like, I don't know that. And then you play it. It's like, okay, now I know it.
I know you'll know it. I guarantee it. Here are the cellos. I mean, does that look like a rock band? Isn't that wild? It's like nine guys. The drummer's in front. Is this familiar?
Not really.
No? Well, when this is a hit, you were probably 2 years old.
I think it was a hit before I was even born. I personally like Xanadu.
Xanadu?
No.
How about Do Ya? Do you know the song Do Ya?
That's my favorite one they do.
That's a great song.
I love that song. That song rocks, man.
That might be my favorite ELO song.
Easily. I mean, besides Telephone Line.
Telephone Line. I know, it's great.
I really like Telephone Line because whenever we couldn't find a song, we're dialing out. Telephone Line was like the default.
Yeah, exactly. You got the touch tones and the phone rings.
Yeah.
Womp, womp.
So they're... Why haven't they been inducted yet?
I don't know.
What's the problem?
There's like five other bands that Deep Purple just got in. People were appalled every year. Like, how could Deep Purple not be in?
This song is so...
This is probably half the reason the song was a hit. Oh, cool, the phone.
It's not a bad song. The beginning's just...
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
How
are you? Have you been all right?
This is exactly how I did it. Lonely, 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 lonely nights. Yeah, actually, their biggest hits were not my favorite songs. Like, Don't Bring Me Down.
Oh, I hate that song.
I don't like that song either. Why does that happen? The people at the record company have the worst taste.
How you feeling? So they have, like, the list of nominees is, what, like 20 people deep, right? So how many people do they
I think they cut it in half, don't they?
In half?
Well, maybe not in half. Maybe three quarters they take. But I think that's bullshit. Why don't they just pick them and just put them in instead of having somebody go, oh, we didn't make it again?
This is the first time ELO has even been on the ballot.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope.
That's ridiculous. Ted Nugent isn't in. How is Ted Nugent not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? No.
Politics. It's
a rigged
system.
It probably is. I think it's a rigged system, Mark. I do.
This one I do think is a rigged system.
Can you put on Do Ya? I can't hear it. I hate this song. Not my favorite.
What? No, I actually don't mind this one.
It's okay. I don't know. It's just so wimpy.
Well, yeah. But a lot of ELO is kind of wimpy, except for Do Ya?
They kind of rocked. I mean, they're a light orchestra. Pew! 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 Well, Tull isn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Smiths, the MC5.
MC5's nominated this year, though.
Willie Nelson, New Order, Gram Parsons, who cares? Moody Blues. Moody Blues, yes, The Cure.
Yes is nominated this year.
Okay. Is my list complete here? I got Depeche Mode, ELO, Jane's Addiction, Joan Baez, Journey, Steppenwolf. Journey needs to be kept out. Chic, Kraftwerk, and Yes.
You're missing a couple.
Wait, who else? Why don't they just give me the damn list? They have to have a story that eventually gets to every one of them. Journey, okay. Point line for Journey and Depeche Mode.
All they say is the top vote getters will be announced, but they don't say how many they're going to put in.
Jake, can you turn that up a little bit?
Oh, yes, sir.
You talk over it. A little louder than that.
Yeah!
Did the Cars make it last year, or are they just nominated?
No, because they're nominated this year, aren't they?
What's with this what's with this?
What are you reading? What is your source?
I have the Daily Mirror story. And it just, like, starts talking about different ones that are nominated, but it never gives the fucking list. How stupid. They gotta have a list in there somewhere. But they don't.
This is the best part right here. Actually, it's out of the hook. The hook, and then it really rocks again before it ends.
Woman!
Woman.
Oh, Warren Zevon. I love that.
Woman!
No Warren Zevon. No replacements. I can't believe all the critical love for the replacements if they're not in there. PJ Harvey. Who cares?
Wait, she's not in, is she?
She's too gross.
She is gross. All right, do you want the full list?
Bad Company's not in.
What?
What? They're in there, aren't they? Come on. Kidding me? B-52s, they're in there, aren't they? Maybe not. I guess not. I don't know. Jane's Addiction, they are
nominated.
Yeah, what's the full list?
All right, so Pearl Jam, which you got to believe Pearl Jam's in, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
For some reason, I don't know why this was announced, but Pearl Jam, because you know the thing with Pearl Jam is they've had five drummers.
So how many drummers go in?
Just the current drummer, Matt Cameron, and then the very...
What about the original?
Dave Crewson will be in too, but nobody else!
Whoa, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah, no Jack Irons, no Dave Eberzezizi.
Yeah.
Joined like right before 10 came out. Mm. Okay, so Pearl Jam's going to be in, right? Easily.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Then Tupac, which we talked about, Depeche Mode, maybe. You mentioned ELO. Jane's Addiction. I can't see Jane's Addiction making it, and I love that band.
I was thinking they'd be in.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I don't know why.
They only really had what?
Perry Farrell is just such a large figure. Yeah. And also the asshole guitarist.
Oh, I forgot about him. Navarro.
Yeah.
That's funny. I forget that he's in Jane's Addiction.
And that he hates us.
Yeah, that's right. This song has the fart in it, remember? Just like, do ya? Remember the fart in the song where it goes, brrrr? You know what I'm talking about, Jay?
The musical fart.
Yeah.
To me, there's only one Jane's Addiction song.
The Mountain Song?
Jane.
Oh, Jane Says?
Jane Says.
With the steel drums?
Yeah, it's a cool song.
So Jane's Addiction, I don't know.
That chick I kind of passed around the band a little bit, too. Jane, the girl.
Yeah, I'd say.
The bass player banged her, I believe, once, and Perry Farrell never talked to him again.
Really?
For like 20 years. They didn't speak.
So weirdo, man.
And the guy was in the band the whole time.
That kind of makes him more rock and roll, doesn't it?
I don't know what it makes him. Me like Okay, who else on the list?
Janet Jackson, yeah. Journey, The Cars, The Zombies.
The Cars and The Zombies. The Zombies are real big in the UK.
I see. I don't even know them. Okay, name a song that I don't
She's
know.
Not
that
there.
I'll know.
She's not there. Zombies.
Season.
Time of the Season. Yeah, Time of the Season is even bigger, probably.
The season.
They had one album that has the word Oracle in it. That's really big. I can't think of the whole name of it, but it's got the word Oracle in the name. I know.
And then Yes.
Yes is long overdue. Due to the roundabout.
Oh, what's the other?
Oracle and Odyssey.
Saying all good people.
What is it? Oral and, Oracle,
Oracle and Odyssey.
Yeah, that's it. Odyssey and Oracle. Oracle and Odyssey.
Seeing all good people, that's Yes, right?
Yeah, that's Yes.
It's like five songs in one.
There's another really long Yes song. It has great, it's got a cool guitar riff in it.
I really got into Yes when I used to run Best Of back in like 97, 98, because I loved when the songs would pop up on the log so I could just take off for like 8 minutes. It was great having an 8-minute song to play.
And they do have an album called Yes Songs.
The rest of this year's hopefuls are Bad Brains. Bad Brains will probably make it, don't you think?
They didn't make it last year.
They didn't? They were up last year?
I don't know much about the Bad Brains. What are the Bad Brains?
They're a punk band from Washington, D.C. Huge influence on a lot of people.
I would expect other punk bands to go in before them, like Television or, I don't know.
Chaka Khan is up.
No.
Chic. Jay Giles. Why is that band?
Jay Giles?
Yeah.
I would think they'd have already been in.
I would have thought so, too. Joan Baez, Joe Tex, Kraftwerk, MC5, and Steppenwolf.
Joe Tex, forget it.
Who is it? I don't even know.
He's got like one hit. I don't know. Zero.
Steppenwolf isn't in?
I'm surprised. That's another one. Although, they don't have a big catalog. You know, they just had a couple albums, I think. Although I think they've been around in various incarnations. They had a couple hits in the late 60s. That's it. Magic Carpet Ride and what's the big motorcycle song?
Get your motor running.
And on the highway.
Born to be wild.
Yeah, that song seems like it would almost get them in there alone. Man, I am just spaced out today.
This is really funny. This article in Rolling Stone, you know, they mentioned the Pearl Jam thing about the drummers.
Yeah.
ELO, you know, which has had so many people in the band.
Mm-hmm.
But just Jeff Lynne, Roy Wood,
Bev
Bevan, and Richard Tandy made the cut. So they actually say, like, which members of the band? I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Yeah, they do. They differentiate. They will... Oh, Starship Trooper, that's the Yes song. Oh, can you get Starship Trooper, Jay, and go like 5 minutes in?
So for
it's like a 20-minute song, I think.
So for Journey, it's just Steve Perry. It's not going to be Steve Aguirre.
No, Steve Aguirre will not go in. No, although Arnel Pineda may go in.
No, it's not.
No, Arnel Pineda?
The classic Steve Perry lineup of Journey is listed along with the founding keyboardist singer Greg Rolie.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of their songs. Yeah, he was replaced, too.
So what does Arnell do? What does Arnell do, then?
He goes and sings the high notes when Steve Perry can't hit him. Sings back up with a few chicks.
That's a bummer. What does Steve Aguirre do? Work the concession stand
for free ticket.
$8.50 an hour?
He sells T-shirts at the lobby. Steve Aguirre. They liked him because his name was close to Steve Perry.
It's the only reason anybody remembers it.
Journey with Steve Aguirre. They would muffle his name when it was a commercial.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve
Aguirre. Perry.
Steve Aguirre. So only five bands made it last year, but I feel like there's more than five this year.
Only five people made it last year?
Yeah.
Because they usually pick a couple losers, like the best roadie ever, you know?
Yeah.
Which I always think is dumb when they do that. They spend like 10 seconds on the guy. He doesn't even make the TV show. He's in the opening credits. I mean, isn't that silly?
I don't understand why they... Well, like maybe because the show's like 8 hours long, but how HBO just edits the crap out of it.
Yeah, it's a long show, but I mean, I think if you really like music, you'll watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always a good show, probably because it's edited down.
Yeah, that's probably why it's good, actually. I've heard people say going to it, that it gets really drags.
Oh, really?
The, whatever's best is held for the end. And you have to sit through a lot of bullshit, a lot of dreadful speeches.
I'm starting to feel really old now that Nirvana and Pearl Jam are in, man. You know? You got to wait 25 years from your first song, right? Isn't that
so? 10 is 25 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to cry. But that means all those grunge bands. Alice in Chains will probably make it. You got to think Soundgarden will make it. STP will make it. Charlie, you know, obviously no Weiland.
Does Velvet Revolver make it?
Probably not. That album is so goddamn good, though.
You know, some of those guys are in there three times. Eric Clapton's in three times, isn't he?
For himself, Derek and the Dominoes.
I think Derek and the Dominoes are in. They only had one album. But he's in there with, what's the blues band?
Cream.
God, I am spacey today. Cream. Before Cream, Eric is God. Jimmy Page was in the same band. Jeff Beck was in the same band.
No.
Oh, God, I'm driving me crazy.
I used to look it up.
What's wrong with me? Oh, wait a second. No, I don't think Eric Clapton is even in the fucking band. I had a stroke today, clearly.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. I had a stroke. I can't think.
About Yardbirds?
Yardbirds!
Thank you. Jay. Is Clapton in the Yardbirds?
Yeah.
Okay. He probably went with the... boy. I think the Yardbirds are in there. I don't know. He's in there three times, I'm pretty sure. Isn't Steve Winwood in there a couple times?
Well, are they in together? I'm not even going to ask. Because they were in a band together, right?
Yeah, they were in Blind Faith together.
Blind Faith, thank you, yeah.
One album, though. So I don't think that band made it. But Steve Winwood made it with the Spencer Davis Group. And then with Traffic, and as a solo artist, I believe. Yeah. In fact, on one of my Beatles sites, there was some petition to get Paul McCartney and Wings in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Because he's in there as Paul McCartney, the Beatles, and... Paul McCartney and Wings have a huge pile of hits. But Paul McCartney and Wings, who does that put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Puts Paul in one more time with Linda and Denny Lane and about 19 other guys. Because that band had people going in and out all the time. So I don't even know who he'd
put.
I love Ram, I think, is one of my... I love Ram. That's such a good album. And Band on the Run's very good. Mm-hmm. A few other good ones. A lot of hits. Neil Young is in there. What? Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Neil Young. And...
I don't know.
Crazy Horse. No, Crazy Horse isn't in there. Crazy Horse is great, though. So, yeah, they got a lot of thinking to do on the old Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The debate's tomorrow night.
Yay.
So it'll be a late night.
Yay.
Is the debate at 9 o'clock again? Can't they have it earlier?
Probably.
They won't, though. It's at 9, isn't it?
The last two have been at 9. I don't know why this would be any different. Oh, there is breaking news about the debate.
I'm so excited about this breaking news.
If this election couldn't get any more ridiculous. Donald Trump has invited Barack Obama's half-brother to be in the audience.
He doesn't like Obama's policies, so he's there for Trump.
It's already a circus, but really?
Did you know the mother of a slain Benghazi terror attack victim is going to be there too?
Okay, well, that's a little more meaningful, right?
Yeah.
Because they were at the RNC.
But Obama's brother, what an asshole, by the way. What a dick. Trump's guest.
Obama's
what a jerk.
Not running.
But still, he's an asshole for doing that. I mean, do you think Obama's going to be happy about that?
No. You saw what Obama said about Trumpy today, right?
He's being a baby. Or say, stop whining.
Stop whining.
Stop whining.
Yeah. Stop whining. I think you should stop whining.
Stop whining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when it's rigged for you, it's easy to say.
Jesus Christ.
I agree.
I think that's the thing that bothers me the most about everything with Trump is that he's claiming it's a rigged election now. I think it's bad news bears, man.
It could be. The thing is, he's tapping into something.
But this is the conspiracy thing about him that I can't stand. He just hears a conspiracy theory, acts like it's the truth, and because he's running for president, people believe it's the truth.
Well, you know what? Everyone, I've heard some really smart people say this. I mean, people like George Will even have said that Trump has hit some great points in this run-up to the election, but he doesn't make them well. Even that the election is rigged. The media has typically been very difficult for some candidates have really gotten pounded by the media.
That's not the part about the rig thing that bothers me. It's the part that...
But that's not the point he makes. He makes it sound like it's a grand conspiracy.
No, I know. He makes it sound... He has said that there's going to be widespread voter fraud.
If he stuck to the media, though, I think he could maybe make some points with some people.
Everybody hates the media. It just seems like he's making an excuse for when he loses.
What is the...
And I think it's dangerous, man.
What is the... Well, you know, Hillary Clinton says some dangerous things, too. I think...
Of course she does.
I mean, the whole thing is disgusting. This is really a new low, obviously.
But the transition of power from president to president over the course of this country's history has been one that is respectful and peaceful. And we kind of take pride in it. And now he's claiming that it's all fixed and rigged. And people are getting riled up.
Well, some people have felt that it is rigged. I don't think the word rigged is the right word, though. And I agree with George Will. And I thought he made an honest point. I wouldn't have expected him to make, and a few others as well, that, you know, the media does play a big role in it. I've never been a big media conspiracy person, and I'm not even sure I'm ready to say it about this election, although I think it's been...
He has
certainly... The Clintons have owned the media. Always. Owned the media back in the day. I mean, to think... I cannot believe how long that whole Lewinsky thing went on where people defended him and said, she's crazy, she's a stalker.
Absolutely.
Months went by. And... The fact that the media did not have the balls to just say, come on, this is bullshit, instead of acting like, well, we've got to hear both sides. So, you know, we hear both sides every fucking night for all that time until finally the dress nails him, which I never dreamed would happen.
But when it comes to this election, he has had far more coverage, albeit negative coverage, but he has invited it, and he eggs it on and keeps it going.
He has, but
he's been challenged because he says some ridiculous things.
I agree. No, he's made some really bad news for himself.
And yes, she has done ridiculous things too, and she's done borderline criminal things, but it's not the kind of stuff the news wants to put out there because it's not as entertaining. It's still a business.
A lot of people, those are meaningful things. They're very meaningful.
Absolutely.
Things.
They get coverage, but they get buried by other things because he is so just such a dick about everything.
But has the media really covered those things anyway? I mean, before he was being a complete anus, was the media really doing a good job on those things? I don't think so.
Well, that's one that you can never, solve that with facts.
But the fact is,
he has had far more coverage in the media than she has.
Yeah, no, every morning. I mean, I think I said it yesterday. I watch news all day. I get up in the morning, and I swear to God, there's at least one crazy Trump story that I haven't heard yet. And I'm like, how did I go to bed after watching everything all day, and I didn't even hear about this?
Well,
I mean, something crazy is going on. The minute I close my eyes.
In past elections, something would happen, and then they'd get out in front of it, and then they'd kill it and make it a one-day story and move on to the next thing. He keeps it going.
Well, he has some real tragic flaws that have come out. You know, it's amazing that the primary went as well as it did for him, to be honest.
I don't know if you remember this, though. He claimed the primary was rigged.
Yeah, he bitched about the primary.
He said it specifically about the primary, that the Republican primary is rigged, and that was after he had lost a few states to Ted Cruz.
Not like he is now, though. I mean, now it's his mantra.
But why now? Because it's becoming more apparent that he'll probably lose.
I don't know. I think maybe he's trying to inspire some of those people who aren't going to vote or on the fence to vote for him because they're conspiracy-oriented.
Well, now it's to get...
They don't like the media.
Everybody knows who they're voting for. It's about actually getting them to the polls now.
Yeah, which is pretty big. And the polls, you know, I was looking at all the polls today. Somebody had a complete list, every single poll. And
538 does a good job capturing them all.
Yeah, I wasn't on 538, but 538's a good site. I forgot where it is. I saw it in case somebody wants to do that. But it seemed that, generally speaking, he's down about 4 or 5 points.
Well, what 538 does, too, is they actually grade the polls based on their past success, how random it is, if they call cell phones, because a lot of these polls don't call cell phones. One of their big examples of a failure of a poll was here in Michigan when they had Hillary beating Bernie in the primary, like 61-38 for the primary. And, of course, Bernie won the primary here.
Mm-hmm.
So the poll was way off. And Nate Silvers pointed out that, well, the problem with that particular poll is they didn't call cell phones. They just used landlines. And most of Bernie's supporters are young people that have cell phones. So, I don't know. That's kind of why I like following it on 538, because he'll wait them.
But I'm surprised that it's as close as it is. I thought it'd be like 12 points or 13 points by now, especially with all the
victims
lining up.
Are we really going to have blowouts like we used to?
I don't know. I really thought this thing was going to be a total blowout after the Billy Bush tape came out. Oh, Billy Bush officially blown out today, by the way.
Hoda and Kathy Lee were very upset.
Oh, what bullshit. You know, that, I'll say it again. I said it last week. For those Today Show people to pile up against him is so foolish. That the fact that they don't know, well, I don't know. You know, I suppose when Hoda and Kathy Lee get their guests, I'm sure they have some real friendly lady talk. I guess no one's ever hit on Kathy Lee, somebody that she was supposed to interview. Never hit on her, ever.
Yeah, right.
Or Hoda. Maybe nobody ever hit on Hoda. Look at her!
I look at her words.
Why is her... Hoda's... I swear, when she smiles, it's like her whole face collapses. It's really weird. You know what I said?
No, but
she's got a weird face.
Take a look. You
look
take
at her.
A look.
Look at her.
Look at her. Look at her words.
Look at her
you
words.
Tell me what you think. I don't think so. I don't think so.
You want to hear Matt Lauer say goodbye
hey,
to
Jay,
Billy
can
Bush?
Hey, Jay, can you get I don't think so by itself, too? Yeah, that's okay, a great drop by itself. Kathy Lee never put up with somebody hitting on her because she had the interview and she just wanted to have the interview. Yeah, I guarantee it. And same with Natalie.
Hit on her. Oh, Morales, absolutely.
Yeah, Natalie.
Really, everybody she
and all those chicks on there. I guarantee you that's happened, and they've put up with it because they wanted the interview. And Billy Bush was okay. He was being a dope. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's being a real dope. But Donald was bread and butter for Billy. Billy got a lot of interviews with Donald Trump.
Yeah, he was best friends with him. And all the laughing.
Stern was talking about Donald today. That Donald's one of the best guests he's had on his show, and he's not going to lay out those interviews because he doesn't want to screw Trump anymore, and he's screwed by being on his show. He doesn't want people to come on his show and be screwed later for it.
Trump's very entertaining. The problem is he's running for president.
No, it's absolutely. And that's why I thought when he first ran, I thought, oh, shit, all that Stern stuff's going to come out right away, and he's going to be sunk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've heard him on Stern before. Actually, you know what? I've just heard clips of on Stern because I don't think I've ever heard him on Stern.
Most of that is the locker room talk. He's not bragging about sexually assaulting people or kissing them.
No. Well, I think he knows the difference between being on the air and not being on the air. And I think he just, because he wasn't where you expect to be recorded, he was extra stupid. But he said a bunch of things on the Stern show I thought would have him in trouble a long time ago. But for some reason, it's all coming out now. I don't know why. I think it's strange.
I heard,
and I bet there's a lot more.
You think so? Still
from the Stern Show, yeah.
Oh, from the Stern Show.
And Don Jr., by the way, has been on Opie and Anthony and a couple other shows, and he said some dumbass things
four
too.
4 years ago, who cares what Don Jr. has to say?
He's got the
then
Donald,
and now
he has the Donald Trump gene.
Oh,
it shows
on.
That the gene comes from Donald Trump.
Come on,
he's talking about fat chicks. Now you can't say somebody's fat anymore.
So when
it really hurts him to not be able to say someone's fat.
When is the audio tape of Chelsea coming out talking about blowing some dudes? When's that one come out?
Never, because nobody wants to be blown by her. They know how a lousy BJ it would be.
Do you want to hear Lauer say goodbye?
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
Do you want to hear Lauer? See how insincere this
is.
All right.
NBC News announced last night that Billy Bush would be leaving the Today Show effective immediately, noting that he was a valued colleague and longtime member of the broader NBC family.
The broader
family. A statement
family.
Billy released separately last night read in part, I look forward to what lies ahead.
And of course,
all of us here today wish Billy the very best.
Oh, yeah, you do. Shut up. What a stupid statement.
He's just relieved that he's not going to lose his job now. Now, I don't have the audio of Hoda and Gifford, but Hoda said, before we begin, we do want to mention what a lot of you probably already know. Our good friend Billy Bush is no longer here at Today.
Oh, our good friend who they refused to take a handoff from because they were so upset.
Kathy Lee follows it with, he has been a joy for us. He was here about 9 weeks. He was so much fun to be around. He was always up for anything. A real team player. We are really, really going to miss him. Our thoughts and prayers go to him and his family.
Thanks.
Thoughts and prayers for what? He got $10 million to leave. What are the thoughts and prayers for?
I don't know. It's really pathetic. And for all these producers behind the scenes who piled up against him, that was the first strike. Was the word out of NBC was they just didn't know if they had people within the staff that were willing to work with him after that.
What's going on with NBC?
That's when I went apeshit and said, I hope all those people lose their jobs. I hope they all can't get any interviews because people say, oh, let's keep the tapes around. Screw you, years later. So,
did you see NBC also shelved their Law & Order Donald Trump show? They were going to have a Law & Order that was based on a rich businessman who was running for president and was supposed to run, I think, next Sunday. And they've shelved it for after the election.
What? Why?
I don't know. NBC apparently is just freaked out of for freaked out about Donald Trump suing them for whatever reason.
Well, maybe because they were planning to release this videotape when it would best help them or possibly hurt him in the election instead of just releasing it when they knew it was there.
Yeah.
I mean, NBC, I'm surprised they haven't taken more shit in this thing.
I really am, too.
I'm shocked. And, you know, that would be such a good target for Trump. Trump hasn't even talked about NBC. Why isn't he being more specific?
I don't know.
I'm not running his campaign, but I can't believe the people running his campaign.
It's not like they can release release The Apprentice stuff. Even though it aired on NBC, they can't, you know, they don't own the rights to it. I think MGM owns it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Let's see. There was some more Trump news today. It's more about Hillary.
He was talking about the People magazine writer, the one that he said, look at her words.
Yeah.
And why wasn't it in the story when the story came out? That's been his big defense. that's also the same one he said. It was a glass room. There would be witnesses all over the place. Well, People magazine, who this lady wrote for, has brought forth six people that corroborate her account of what happened, because after it happened, she confided in a bunch of people at People magazine. So there's your witnesses, Donald.
Well, would she say that he shut the door? He shut the door on Melania?
Yeah, Melania left, and that's when he pinned her against the wall and made out with her. I mean, he's just going to say that. These are people that worked with her, and of course they're going to support her and believe her lies and blah, blah, blah. But the fact that, you know...
by the way, you know what? Why don't you just look real quick, Jay? I doubt you're going to be able to find this number. But there's a guy that wrote to USA Today who says that the apparent coordination of all these women from decades ago alleging Trump sexually assaulted them, he believes that these women actually were coordinated. I'd love to get this guy on the phone. Oh, shit. They didn't even give a state.
What's it?
His name is Jeff Lanser. Lanser, L-A-N-S-E-R. That's too common, isn't it?
Not necessarily.
In the country. All right, let me take a look. If it gets lengthy, don't even bother, Jay. But there's a little story about Hillary Clinton insulting and embarrassing ambassadors by riding in limos with Huma, and apparently it's not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal, but it just sort of demonstrates.
Understand.
Let me just read a little bit of it. Source former member of the State Department's Bureau of Diplomatic Security explained how the security was to ride in an armored limousine with the U.S. local U.S. ambassador while traveling abroad, but Clinton refused to do so, instead choosing to be accompanied in the limousine by her deputy chief of staff, Uma Abedin. This frequently resulted in complaints by ambassadors who were insulted and embarrassed by this breach of protocol. And that's been a common sort of a rap against the Clintons, yeah, that they don't have any respect for Secret Service.
Yeah.
They have no respect for the military. They just make their own rules.
Yep.
And this really falls right in there. And I'm not sure what that means in the long run, except it's just a little disturbing about how powerful they seem to think they are. Clinton was also supposed to arrive at events with the U.S. local U.S. ambassador, something she also skipped in lieu of riding a limo with Abedin, who's currently separated from disgraced ex-Congressman Anthony Weiner.
They're still looking into his text to the 15-year-old.
Oh, I bet they are.
The one whose pussy he was going to destroy, I think he said.
Yeah.
15.
The agent pointed fingers at Abedin, who interned for Clinton during her days as first lady. I'm surprised there aren't more rumors about these two being lesbos. I mean, why she got to ride with Uma in the limo so they can diddle each other?
Ew.
Without the ambassador present?
Gross.
You had the power sofa in her van.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Is now the vice chairwoman of the presidential campaign and said she possessed much more power over the rest of the staff and Secretary of State's schedule than previous people.
Uma?
Yeah.
Oh, by far. You can see that in the emails. Everything went through Uma.
Agent believed Abedin herself was often responsible for overriding security and diplomatic protocols on behalf of Clinton. Same FBI source thought that Clinton was using her post at the State Department to prematurely begin her presidential campaign. She would travel with handpicked media who would present her in favorable light in order to garner political support. That's pretty much... an example the agent gave the FBI happened in Jakarta, Indonesia in 2009 when Clinton's security wanted a photo op at a clean cooking stoves initiative struck from her schedule because of the problems it presented. The area could not be secured and was lined with dangerous circumstances and individuals. The team was informed, however, that it was going to happen because she wanted it. And this story about getting some emails unclassified in exchange for letting these FBI guys go in dangerous areas they were not supposed to be in.
Yeah,
that was the trade.
Other posts. Yeah, they would get posted.
That's not exactly small potatoes.
No, it didn't happen.
No, but it was suggested. It was asked for.
Yeah, I'd love to know who the person in the State Department that asked for that was, that approached the FBI. The other thing, which I don't think anybody found this to be a big surprise that came out today with all these, you know, the slow drip of WikiLeaks emails, is the security for her, for the State Department.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the story?
I don't think so.
You're not going to find this to be much of a surprise, but her security detail at the State Department hated her and wanted to all be transferred out. State Department security personnel so disliked Hillary Clinton that many left the agency or asked to be reassigned, according to FBI documents released Monday.
She's a miserable bitch.
Oh, I know.
I mean, she is a cunt.
Who could work for her?
No one. I mean, think of her. Honestly, thinking about her as running the country is a little bit freaky because, I mean, can you imagine her under that much pressure? I mean, if she acts this way as Secretary of State, as U.S. Senator, as the First Lady, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Secret Service, hello, Mrs. Clinton, fuck you. Who does that? I mean, that's not terribly presidential.
Not at all. So the FBI investigation into Clinton's handling of classified information while Secretary of State, redacted, explained that Clinton's treatment of DS agents on her protective detail was so contemptuous that many of them sought reassignment or employment elsewhere, the documents state. Prior to Clinton's tenure, being an agent on the Secretary of State's protective detail was seen as an honor and a privilege reserved for senior agents. However, by the end of Clinton's tenure, it was staffed largely with new agents because it was difficult to find senior agents willing to work for her. The official was interviewed by the FBI, worked for the Department of Homeland Security, and was previously a state employee. He said Secret Service agents also complained about Clinton, well, which we knew that. Documents are being released after the FBI investigation and the handling of classified information on her private email server. The interview summary from the DHS official states that Clinton took unnecessary risk by demanding a window be opened in her armed vehicle on a trip in occupied territory.
That window should be open now!
Roll down that window! I just farted!
I declare it!
No, she farted. She'd want the window up.
Yeah, right? She would.
And she'd be doing this.
She would revel in it.
She'd be spreading it around. Huma.
It's not just any fart. It's my fart.
Huma farted. Roll that window down.
You can smell my fart.
And Huma goes, that wasn't a fart. It just sounded like one. Clinton disregarded security and diplomatic protocols occasionally without regard for the safety of her staff and protection detail in order to gain favorable press. Document details a visit to Jakarta, Indonesia for a photo opportunity with, quote, clean-looking cooking stoves initiative in an area that security believed was too dangerous.
Hey, I know. I heard that story a minute ago.
That's what you just said, yeah. So.
But the best story, maybe in terms of the future, this story may have more impact and may offer more entertainment than anything. Larry Flint is offering $1 million to anyone with scandalous audio or video recordings of Donald Trump. Oh, Lordy.
Well, so did Billy Bush get cash in then?
No, it's too late for Billy Bush.
So going forward?
Yes.
Flint, what do you think? This is 2015? The election's almost over. There's three
weeks
left.
They've got 3 weeks.
Flint.
This, if anybody's got it, I mean, imagine that guy at NBC who knows where that apprentice stuff is.
Oh, maybe that. So that's why he's doing it, right? To get all the apprentice stuff.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what's out there? I mean, $1 million.
Couldn't he be? Oh boy, he could be sued if he paid the person that releases the apprentice stuff.
I'm just making an offer.
I mean, like, he cares if he gets sued.
No, he doesn't care. Every time I think of his voice, I just think of Dr. Detroit.
Let's call Larry.
Mom. What, mom? Was it mom? Mom? Was that the lady in Dr. Detroit? Mom? Or Maud? Or...
I don't remember. It was years ago.
Dr. Detroit.
Hey, we never called... Mom reminds me. We never called the Hink Dog yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, did John watch the movie, Killing Reagan?
Yeah, and does he want to go out with Monica Lewinsky's guy?
That's because Charlie called in, remember?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie.
We got some phone action coming up. Is that guy is there a million Jeff Hansers?
There's 19. Well, there's actually probably about 15 because there's a few of them that are listed multiple times and whatnot. And I'm like cross-referencing the states they live in with that 538 map on Republican states.
Versus okay.
So I think we got narrowed down to like two or three.
Cool.
Larry Flint, or do you want to call?
Should we just dial up a Hanser just for kicks?
Sure.
Just for S&G, mm-hmm. See if it's the one.
It's Larry Flint.
$1 million.
I like to smell his finger.
Oh, gross.
He said it.
I know. I just want to smell, follow him around and smell. Who is he talking about?
Just want to follow around and smell his finger. I can't remember who he's referring to.
I mean, wouldn't Larry's finger smell enough?
Wait, we're talking about somebody who gets a lot
Clinton?
Of action. No, I don't think so. But remember when last time he did this, he was asking for information that Bob Livingston just resigned, right? He was like,
right.
I'm out.
It worked.
He had four chicks within 2 days. Bob Livingston was just a fuck machine.
Bob Livingston. Yeah, it ended him, man.
Oh, yeah, he was so done.
Bob. Bob.
Yeah, he was running a speaker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was he done? There's another guy. I can't get over that story.
Oh, sorry.
About the guy that's in trouble for getting it on with that 17-year-old dude.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Nothing.
He didn't get it on with him. He just made out with
him. He made out with him, and he was texting him like a madman.
Bought him some undies.
Yeah, bought him underwear, gave him underwear. Gross. What a pig. Ugh. I mean, that's just a freak show. That guy's weird.
I think it's weird. Isn't it weird when a guy buys a woman underwear?
Well, somebody he didn't barely knew this guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you say you met a 17-year-old girl and you just start buying her underwear, that's weird. Well,
what if you're a 17-year-old guy, you meet this congressman, oh, Mr. Congressman, so nice to meet you. And the guy's like, yeah, I got some underwear for you.
Oh.
Got some underwear. I want you to wear this underwear and give me a call.
Well, remember, that guy, he said he liked it, though, because it was a older, powerful man who was married taking interest in him.
Oh, yeah, he could flip him.
Mm.
God, this weirdos. Oh, there's another story about a real. There's another real freak show story today. What am I thinking about?
Hey, that audio that I was playing that you heard, that crack of the bat.
Yeah, what was that?
It was not from Toronto's victory over the Indians, by the way. They won today.
Oh, Toronto won?
Yeah.
What did they win by?
I think it was it 5-1, 6-1? 5-1, I believe. But that audio I was playing was someone has finally got their first hit.
Tebow?
He got his first hit, Drew. We were laughing before the show because Tebow, I think, was 0-12. And then today, this happened.
Oh, shut up, crowd.
Opposite field, Drew. Base hit.
Big whoop. He's 1-13.
1-14 now. With 8 strikeouts. He's batting 0-7-1.
Did you hear about the Arkansas judge who's giving men lighter sentences in exchange for naked pictures?
Of men?
Yes, of them.
Well, that doesn't
nice
seem,
judge.
That doesn't seem to be on the up and up.
Former Arkansas judge accused of giving lighter sentences to some defendants in exchange for nude photos or sexual favors is being held in protective custody at county jail.
All right, well, how many are there? It wouldn't be easy to figure out which guys they are.
This is going to be grim. Joseph Brockman appeared disheveled as his accusations were levied during his arraignment. He's alleged to have bribed witnesses and even had an accomplice threaten to make one of them disappear. Wearing jeans and a button-down shirt while shackled at the waist, the 70-year-old pleaded not guilty to bribery, fraud, and other federal charges hours after prosecutors unsealed a 21-count indictment.
Ooh.
Dozens of men have accused the former Cross County District Court judge. And dozens have men. You know there's dozens more who just don't want to admit, oh, yeah, he took pictures of my ass, beat me off. Of sexual abuse and misconduct dating back decades to his time as a prosecutor. Some men said he gave the money in exchange for spanking them with a paddle.
Ew!
And allowing them to take photos of the red skin.
What?
Others posed nude in exchange for money to pay off court fines.
What? Sounds like
imagine these guys posing. Is this good enough? No, I want you to lie down.
You're going to pose like this. Spread. Just spread.
Resigning man from an investigation by the State Judiciary Board allegedly had more than 4,600 photos of nude or semi-nude men. 4,600.
Semi-nude.
Gross. And I got to tell you, if I have to
where is this dude at?
He's in Arkansas? Yeah, Arkansas. I have to pose nude for some dude. I don't think I want to be that dude.
Oh, wow.
Not that I want to be any dude. That creep. That freak.
He kind of looks exactly like I thought he would. He's white. He's balding on the top.
Is Jay talking to Lanzer?
Jay! Lanzer? Are you talking to Lanzer?
Nope.
Who is it, fake Lanzer?
Who talked to? Who talked to?
He sounded quite feminine for a Jeff Lanzer.
Maybe it's Jeffrey.
Is it a chick?
It was a chick.
Oh, it was.
Just dial it up on the board. Dallas went up on the board just for
any Lanzer.
I'm trying. There's just a lot more like dead numbers, so they want to
semi-nude. is that just topless?
Yeah, I guess it'd be without a top.
Are you flashing some bass? Is that what it is? Is that semi-nude. You can see like 1/3 of the penis.
Can you
no
believe-
head?
He wouldn't allow it without head. No way.
Wait, well, semi-nude could be just the head poking out of a zipper then, right?
He might go for that.
Or just a butthole.
Now with this creep. I can't believe some of these guys. This guy went on for decades. How can that go on for decades?
Well, because you're getting your court costs paid for. You're getting your time cut for just a little semi-nude
actually,
pictures.
And the guy.
Who's going to rat that
The guy's
out?
Never going to tell his buddies, hey, you won't believe what happened with this case. I just took a semi-nude picture. I had to beat off of this guy and took some photos and I'm off. Isn't that great?
Yeah, who's going to share that?
What?
Right? That's a win-win for everybody, really. It kind of is a win-win, right?
I guess he's happy, they're happy. They get the charges dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then these people who are committing these crimes are just out there, not getting punished.
Yeah, but so are their...
Society loses.
So are their nude pictures. We were just trying to explain why it was going on for so long.
We're like totally disconnected.
Damn.
Rigged.
Well, you know what? We should wrap part one then. In part two, we've got our McCartney interview. We're late for a McCartney call.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shoot.
By the way, there's some great reviews for the...
We should just cut this, go to part two and call him right out of the gate. Part two. Okay.
See ya. We'll be right back.
See ya.